The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to another day, and hope you had a good weekend, and the week is off to a fairly eventful start already, and with Major League Baseball hanging in the balance, it certainly is going to affect a lot of people's thought process, whether it should or not, on where we're all headed. Let's get to some headlines before we tell you about the guests and get to your phone calls as we continue here. The NCAA has made many decisions. The Division I Council Coordination Committee granted a blanket waiver that reduces by 50% the current legislated minimum number of contests that teams in fall sports other than football can play. You figure that one out. Well, we're talking about cross-country, soccer, field hockey, and, of course, men's water polo. That is going to be a big thing now next week. Don't forget, the NCAA Board of Governors are going to reconvene again. They postponed a decision last Friday, but no matter what they do, I'm sure it won't be good for anyone. Meanwhile, the big story of the day in sports concerns baseball. And many people are wondering what's next for Major League Baseball after the Marlins postponed a game as the virus spreads. This is a pretty interesting story. Remember, we heard last week Ross Bjork on this program say, we are looking to the MLB. We're looking at other professional leagues. And right now, many are already calling for the cancellation of the baseball season. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has not yet been heard from. But you can just flip around the dial, and the heat is on in the baseball season already, hanging in the balance. Meanwhile, there are other stories around college football. We heard Michigan State the other day. Now Rutgers has put a pause on practices for 2 weeks, quarantining the team. This is interesting because many programs, I've heard 30, 40, 50 players testing positive, even more. You haven't seen quarantines at a number of schools. Quite frankly, there may not be many players left to get it. But Rutgers and Michigan State, both in the Big Ten, have taken a different approach. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, maybe the most aggressive school in the country, both offensively and trying to play a week early. This is a thought process from some. Why wait? Get going. They will play Bobby Petrino's team at Missouri State on week zero. They had been playing the opening weekend like everyone else. And what about the collaboration from all the conferences around college athletics? What about it? It's gone out the window as well. And we'll talk to Ralph Russo a little bit later on about the Big Five, how they intended to go together, and now they're not. So these are some of the issues that we will deal with. It seems like Groundhog Day every Monday on this program. Today, a little more anxiety, perhaps. I mean, I woke up today probably feeling better about the season than I have in a long time. You hear through the grapevine, a lot of schools are doubtful they'll get the first weekend in, or maybe the second, but certainly there are plans for the first weekend. Then there are a lot of schools in the SEC are thinking, okay, well, if we don't do that, then what's our plan to start week three? But anyway, here we are. Another week has begun. This is going to be a big week. You've heard us say that a few times, but all signs have pointed toward this week. It was 2 weeks ago today that Greg Sankey telling us here that we'll try to get something done and an announcement by the end of the month. Well, the end of the month comes this weekend. The SEC presidents will meet virtually later this week. The ACC officials will meet on Wednesday, so put your seatbelt on. This is going to be a very busy week when it comes to news that we have been waiting for all spring long. So that's where we are. We're going to get to your phone calls in a minute at 855-242-7285. We'll also have many guests on tap for you as well today. Pat Forty drops by. He wrote a scathing article a few weeks ago about who's to blame for college football. Tom Luganville on what's going on at Alabama. They got brand new facilities open. They have a stable coaching staff for the first time in a while. And Nick Saban is coaching and recruiting like he hasn't in a long time. Ralph Russo from the AP and Barry Trammell on the aggressive plans out of Oklahoma. Let's get to the calls at 855-242 7285. And John starts us off in Tennessee. Hey, John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been listening to you, and I've been listening to everybody else the last 2 or 3 months, and nobody has talked about logistics. How are they going to have these games? You know, is Tennessee going to get on a plane, fly to Tuscaloosa Saturday morning, get on a bus, go to the stadium, play the game, change clothes, fly back, and all the different people that are involved? I haven't heard anybody talk anything about logistics.
Well, I don't think they really know all that yet. I mean, right now the biggest issue, John, for everyone is getting players back on campus. They've already done that. Now getting players to workouts, which are now happening. And finally, how are players going to mingle with students? I mean, this isn't the old days when you lock everybody in a dorm. Football players live in the same apartment complexes as regular students. Sometimes with regular students.
Yeah, and the thing that happened at, I forget, was it Philadelphia yesterday where the visiting team locker room, the same thing's going to happen in football.
Well, sure it is.
And that's the thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about.
Well, let me assure you,
the main thing is transportation.
They're talking about it, John, but I don't think anyone is overly concerned about anything other than getting week by week, and I mean, you raise some really good points, but this is a pretty fluid situation, and you know they've got plans. I mean, they know the challenges of traveling, but the MLB is really interesting right now because they are not playing in a bubble. They thought about playing at 2 or 3 locations. They chose not to, and I mean I don't cover Major League Baseball, but I was watching it today. I was watching some of my colleagues, and I mean, there is an absolute panic going on already there, and because they probably should not have played the games yesterday, but they did, and the situation has metastasized today. Hey, anyway, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's check in with Pat, who is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. If you look at the footprint of the SEC and the status of COVID-19 today, Monday, I can only think of 3 schools that have the discipline and have the protocol to be able to exist and play college football. And those 3 schools are not SEC schools. Do you have an idea who I might be thinking about?
No. Tell us.
Let me give you a hint. Anchors away, my boys. The 3 service academies.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Those are the only 3 schools now.
Well, there's one more. Notre Dame has quarantined its players, too.
I'll give you that grudgingly, but they're not the 3 service academies. They don't have the...
Well, let me assure you, the 3 service academies are not going to play by themselves. So,
anyway, the point I want to get to is I firmly believe the decision has already been made mentally, and I don't think it's been verbalized, because once it's verbalized and the decision is we're not going to play college football, once it's verbalized, then everybody involved in that decision, SEC commissioner, athletic directors, head football coaches, they all become irrelevant, just like Kirk Herbstreit became irrelevant in March.
So well, I'll agree with part of what you said. There is no reason at this moment to call the season off. And the one thing you don't want to do is call the season off on July 27th, and then on August 15th, these numbers start dissipating, and where Georgia looked terrible on July 27th, it doesn't look as bad. And then you get to Labor Day weekend and you start to wonder, well, maybe we could have played after all. So, I mean, whether the relevance is you know, I don't know if that's really the part of it I would look at. It's just taking every available ounce of time. And, yeah, I mean, they've already used up their time. Do I hear a lot of confidence inside? What I hear is a lot of, we are going to play football. What does that mean? I have no idea.
Well, if you look at what I looked at a lot of Major League Baseball games this weekend, and look what you already mentioned it, but look what happened to the Florida
sure.
Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing is going to happen to college football teams. They don't have slobber knocking plays in baseball. We do in football.
Yeah, no, well, you're right. The one thing about football is, I mean, I'm not saying this positively because I don't know anyone who wants to get this virus. But I mean, I've heard numbers at certain schools that are astronomical. They're not being reported. If they were, they would blow you away. But this is based on pretty good authority. I mean, we're talking about more than half of the teams, and I'm not talking about the ones that have already been reported. I'm talking about schools that have not given out any information. And yeah, if the media got a hold of the actual numbers on this, and by the way, most have not gotten sick. Most of the players. Now that's today. I don't know what's going to happen years from now. Maybe there'll be underlying reactions, or maybe there won't. But there's a reason why some schools announce we have had one positive, and then there are reasons why some prominent schools aren't announcing anything. And that's why you're not seeing a lot of interviews about this. You're not seeing a lot of coaches available. I mean, there's some real horror stories out there. Whether that means anything or not, I don't know. Because if the players aren't getting sick, then it's not the problem that many feared it would be. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls when we return after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here early Monday, last week of July. Coach is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Coach.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Coach.
We got a big week, don't we?
I would think, although the way things have gone, it's just let's push it down. Let's push it till next week to delay so we can delay next week.
Well, I was actually talking about your little event that you have planned for this Saturday. You got your tux ready?
Unfortunately, I don't because it's not happening. It's going to be it's going to be like everything else.
Have they moved it again? Have they moved it? I thought they were going to do a virtual.
Yeah, it's just in fact, I was working on that today. They basically were just going to show short videos from everybody, which is fairly disappointing.
Oh. Yeah, that is. That was looking forward. So
what Coach is talking about is the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame banquet was supposed to be this weekend,
right.
And it's not going well. It will be in about 10 people's minds, but I mean, I wish I could get more excited about a virtual event.
I know. Well, I thought it was coming up this weekend, and again, I was hoping. I think we can see what little of there may be. I think if you go to their website, I was reading today, you can watch it. I believe somewhat. But is that still on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, all I know is the head of it asked me today and wanted to know where my video was. So I told him I'm working on it.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I'm just going to get. I've asked Jim from Tuscaloosa to do it for me. So to accept the award on my behalf.
Cecil can go down there and do it, can he? Cecil Hurt.
I think Cecil won it a couple years ago, so he knows the routine.
He knows. Well, congratulations anyway, and look forward to the show today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you mentioning that. That was really nice of you.
Thank you.
Let's continue with who we got next. Kevin is up next. Hey, Kevin, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
It's always good to cheer your show, man. It's one thing I get to look forward to every day.
Thank you so much.
And, huge Gator fan, but I just got to say and got to take time to give props to Nick Saban and this recruiting job he's done. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but they snagged the number one defensive tackle out of Michigan, Damon Payne. And, you know, he's cleaning house right now. It looks like he's got him up to the number two spot in recruiting cycle a few weeks ago.
Yeah, at one point they were number 54. I asked a friend of mine today about that, and we have a guest on talking about it later, but it's almost a confluence of a number of things. Alabama has brand new facilities, which sounds like they always have brand new facilities, but their facilities now are literally to die for. They have a little more of a stable coaching staff than they've had in recent years. They have a couple of new coaches that I'm told are really recruiting lights out. And I think there's a big reason that's pretty obvious. While a lot of people were scrambling in March and April trying to figure out how to deal with being at home, Nick Saban was at work trying to figure out how to win the pandemic, and I think he did.
Yes, he definitely did. I do have one question, though. Should football, you know, happen in – you know, you've got things like that going with Nick Saban coming into Michigan, taking the number one defensive tackle out. If Harbaugh has another bad season, should we get football? You got somebody like Nick Saban coming in your own state, out recruiting you, stealing your big players. Are we looking at the end of the Harbaugh era? Is that how really think it's good?
You know, it's amazing. Every time that conversation comes up, we get pushback, and they say, well, he's the best coach they've had there in a long time. I frankly think Michigan fans don't really have much of a ceiling on Jim Harbaugh. They don't mind being a 9-10 win season, going to good bowl games. And I don't think they have any higher expectations. They know they're never going to beat Ohio State. So I think they've just simply settled for the obvious. James is up next. Hey, James, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Paul, how you doing this morning?
I am doing really well. Thank you.
Paul, I heard this at least twice last week on your program, but I think it deserves some more airtime. A friend of mine who lives in the southern part of this state, she had a couple of friends of hers standing in line, and we'll just call it Andalusia, waiting to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And since they were outside, they had already given them contact information. It got hot. They went home. Days later, they received a phone call. They had tested positive, but they hadn't tested at all. So, having heard this same story, and I'm sure it was different people, on your program last week, I heard this twice. I wonder, how can we trust any of the numbers that we hear? Now, I know these college football coaches, they're not, when their kids are testing positive, they're not increasing the numbers if the tests are in fact positive. But how can we trust numbers if an individual is being told that they tested positive when they know they didn't test at all? How many times has that happened across this country? And see, the reason I ask this question is because I hear you. We're concerned about the numbers, and if the numbers are going to recede somewhat,
let me tell you why. By the way, everything you said is interesting, and all I can do is relate what we're told. And we had the commissioner of the SEC and countless other conferences on here recently, and they say the same thing. They're all watching these numbers now. I think you have to factor mistakes being made. I think the numbers that they're most interested in aren't the numbers you get from Arizona, aren't the numbers you get from COVID tracker from Florida. They're getting real information from their universities. They're also concerned about public health. And the one thing that I am really interested in, we're going to ask a number of people today, is this Major League Baseball issue. I don't think it has one thing to do with college football, except it's a huge story. It's a mushroom cloud that that hangs over sports. And there seems to be a narrative developing from people within that bubble, not literally but figuratively, that Major League Baseball is going to self-destruct. Now, if it does, I am a believer that it will have a deleterious effect on everything else, with the possible exception of the NBA and the NFL. We're up against a break. More to come. Appreciate your calls, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. Here we are, the final Monday of July. It was only 4 months ago, a little over that, when we started this conversation. And most people pointed toward Memorial Day and then July 4th. And here we are looking for the next holiday to push the football season back. Pat Forty joining us, who's been covering this every day from SI. And Pat, always great to have you on. And here we are. What do we know today? Good afternoon.
Yeah, we know we're running out of time, that's for sure. Real estate to continue to kick the can further down the road. You know, I think that this will be a pretty newsy week, Paul. I think we're, you know, pretty well expecting ACC presidents to approve or disapprove a scheduling model on Wednesday. We may get further scheduling format, at least from the Pac-12 and or Big Ten sometime. The SEC had been looking at end of the month, but I'm not sure that's ironclad. They could push into next week. The Big 12 has said they will push into next week, most likely. But it's rubber hits road time in terms of at least planning a season. Then we'll see whether we get to playing a season.
Pat, let's try to move aside all the hopeful statements and rearranging of the deck chairs on the Titanic and try to get to the real issues here. In terms of what are these conference commissioners, what are these presidents, these ADs, what are they looking at right now that they haven't been looking at for the last 4 months that will help them make a decision?
Not much, I don't think. You know, I mean, I really think that obviously any hope that there's going to be a dramatic reversal in the overall virus numbers in the country seems hopeless. So really you're now, I think, looking at, as one commissioner put it to me, what's the appetite for risk? How much, you know, are you willing to take on? And if we've seen recently, not that much, certainly in the Big Ten, Michigan State quarantining its team for 2 weeks, Rutgers quarantining its team for 2 weeks. You look out west at the Pac-12, Arizona State just redshirted its entire swimming and diving program for the entire year. So I think people really... And you look at what happened with the Mariners. I think that that's one thing, too, that commissioners and ADs have been looking at. Let's wait and see how the pros do. And the one team that's not in the bubble, one sport that's not in the bubble is baseball, which is going to be like college football, is not going to be in a bubble, and not off to a great start in baseball.
Let me stay at baseball for a second, because they had such a great Thursday night. And all weekend, many of us who don't normally watch baseball in July or were paying attention to it. How dangerous could this Marlins story be? Because already you've heard it. The narrative is the baseball season is on the brink 4 days into it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's very dangerous and pretty alarming. You know, if you're sitting there waiting and watching for signals of how it can work without a bubble environment, well, that's a pretty strong signal that it may not work. I mean, you get an entire team taken out and the team they played taken out, and then the two teams that those teams were supposed to play. So 4 days into the season, we've got something that's taking out four teams. And if you have something like that the first weekend of college football, is there any guarantee you would have a second weekend or third weekend thereafter? I don't know.
Pat Forte joining us. And Pat, you've written a lot about this subject, to say the least. And I know nobody really wants to play the blame game, but I am interested because you wrote about it recently. How we got to the final week of July in such bad shape?
Yeah, I mean, I said I think it starts at the top, and by that I don't mean, you know, the NCAA presidency. I mean the presidency of the United States and Donald Trump and laying out no plan, so to speak, no national strategy, throwing everything to the states, the whole it's going to be like a miracle, it's going to disappear, and then tacitly going along with plans and in some places encouraging plans to reopen the country too soon and basically just kind of giving up on the progress that had been made in the summer or in the spring. And so you gave away the summer, and now the impact is you're going to blow the fall. And I think that it really does go to the top of the food chain here in terms of decision making, in terms of mentality, in terms of taking the virus seriously and doing everything possible so that we could have a school year and a fall sports year.
Talking to Pat Forte, Pat, I listened to your podcast the other day, and while you and your colleagues raise skepticism, healthy skepticism, that's what you do. You try to look at every available side. Here, I sit here and talk to commissioners and athletic directors, and I don't hear much doubt coming from them. You had Oklahoma moving the season up the other day. You have all these conversations which you alluded to. Do you think that they're just trying to satisfy their constituency, or they're delusional?
Really good question, because that's one thing. When all of a sudden Oklahoma moved up to August 29th and Kansas scheduled a game for August 29th, you're kind of looking saying, well, what are we doing here? Because I just have no conviction that those games are going to be played, and I'm not sure those people do either, whether it's just, hey, this is busy work just in case things go remarkably well or what. But, you know, talking to enough people privately, athletic directors and commissioners, I think there's pretty strong skepticism of whether this can be pulled off. I think there's kind of a belief that they have to try because of how much money is at stake and how much the money means to the athletic departments. But I also sense that, you know, while, hey, we can get to close enough to kick off, but if we really are going to try to go through with this, there's not a very good chance of us finishing a season by any stretch.
So, I realize you mentioned the risk-averse part of the equation earlier. I mean, do you think it's just a let's just get the season started and worry about it later mentality? I know that sounds ridiculous. We're talking about college-educated administrators here on campuses of academic higher learning, but I haven't seen much of a plan, and I know you report on this every day.
Yeah, there really hasn't been much of a plan. You know, we were waiting for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the NCAA and Power Five conferences finally put out guidelines for proceeding through testing and that sort of thing. And quite frankly, those guidelines were really daunting. And that's why we see Michigan State and Rutgers in the situation they are, where, you know, if we got to quarantine everybody for 2 weeks, we're shutting everything down. And if you're going to truthfully report virus counts and that sort of thing, what's going to be the number that takes you to that point of shutting down? Have we all agreed on that? No, we haven't. Do we have a set national plan? No, we don't. And I think that there's almost a delay game or a game of chicken of who wants to be the bad guy here. Do we make the NCAA Board of Governors say it next Tuesday, August 4th? Or are we going to do it ourselves as a conference? I'm not sure anybody wants to take the lead in saying we're not starting on time and we may not play.
Pat, everyone breathed a sigh of relief when the Board of Governors passed the other day under heavy pressure. They convene again a week from tomorrow. I doubt they'll pass this time. What do you think is going to happen, and what does it mean?
Yeah, I don't expect them to pass that time. I would think that they are probably looking at trying to move fall sports championships to the spring, although that carries with it its own, you know, myriad headaches, complications, difficulties. And then do they is it everything but football, or do they throw football in there too? I don't see how you don't put football in the mix, because then basically what it would take is for everybody to say the quiet part out loud: we need the money, football's too important, we're going to do something totally separate with them than what we're doing with everyone else. And the optics and the sound on that would be terrible, but that's going to be kind of almost where it has to end up, I think, if they're going to try to play. So we'll see what the Board of Governors says. They will not issue anything that definitively says FBS football can or can't play, but everything else they could make a ruling on, and my expectation would be that they would look to move to the spring, but not sure.
Well, let me close by elaborating on something you said a minute ago, and a great part about, you know, your reporting and some of your colleagues is, you know, the public quotes we have here, we're more than happy to send over to you, but I'm talking about the things that you get from people who are willing to tell you where we are without putting their name behind it for fear of whatever. In private, what is there a way to compile the people with whom you speak and come to any sort of consensus or direction?
No. I wish there were, you know. That's the thing. I think there's general pessimism amongst those people, but not enough so that I could say, you know, college sports as a whole really believes we shouldn't do this. Because on the other side of it, you've got these ADs that are like, man, we just can't even fathom what it's going to be like without that revenue, so we've got to try to play. So I, you know, you get both sides of it. I really think that a lot of people who publicly, especially in the late spring, when they might have been pushing for season ticket renewals from the president's chair, when they're pushing for people to send deposit checks to come and live on campus as general students, were much more confident in public than they were in private. But it's very conflicted. I don't think there is consensus at all, really, on what's the best thing for college sports to do.
Finally, Pat, I think I've asked you three final questions here, but it's so intriguing. To play on, forget week zero, but to play on the first scheduled weekend, Labor Day weekend, what needs to happen and when?
You know, I think that, first of all, there just has to be basically a declaration that we're going to keep going, we're going to try to do it, okay? You know, the schools or the conferences have got to say, we intend on playing, and so we're going to open fall camps, and we're going to have practices, and we're going to have full contact practices. And if you can do that starting August 7th and get a week of no big problems, and then a second week of no big problems, then you are 2 weeks out from game day, and maybe at that point you can say, yeah, we you know what, come to the stadium, we're going to go. You might even have to wait a third week to see if you can get through with practices. But I would think it would have to be that. And then also, obviously, bringing the student body back. And if you are the University of Texas and all of a sudden you have 200 cases on a Thursday in mid-August, you know, what does that do to your plans to playing a football game? Doesn't help, that's for sure. But again, nobody has come out and said X is the number that's too many cases. So we don't know. It's all a moving target.
Great to have you on. Pat Forty, thank you so much, Pat.
Bye, Paul. Thank you.
Some amazing reporting from Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated. We will continue. Ralph Russo, a little bit later on, he covers college football for the AP. We'll talk about some recruiting in the next hour. All of your phone calls are going to be next at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you on. I was just looking down at a report by John Canzano, who works out in Portland, former columnist out there. He is reporting at this hour that a Pac-12 head coach told me, this is, I'm quoting from his tweet, a Pac-12 head coach told me today he wondered if his football program might have to relocate its fall camp to a neighboring state to start practices on time. Remember, this was a real issue back in March and April when many of the lockdowns, especially in California, Oregon, and Washington, were so strict. apparently there is concern that that is about to return. Let's continue with more comments and more calls, I should say. And Jerry, who is in Mississippi, and you're on the air. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, how are you doing?
Jerry, I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was calling you about the Pat Ford. I'm wondering if you can tell me, is he putting his application in to run for vice president under Biden? Or, maybe he's trying to get a job with MSNBC.
Well, I think Biden said he was only going to pick a woman. So unless Pat wants to go through I don't think he's going to have a chance.
Right. He's going to have a woman of color. And I don't know. This guy, I don't know where he got his writing experience from, whether it was Pravda in Russia or what. But I'm just wondering, it don't matter what happens in this country, it all goes back to Trump. Trump caused it. And I think if Pat Ford would be a Democrat, and I think the whole part of this whole thing is wanting to shut the country down. You can look at states like California, like you were just talking about, no sports. They look, all this stuff, not all of it, but a lot of it will go away in November the 3rd, I believe it is, after the election.
Yeah, well, let me say this, and I asked Pat about that because he had a column 2 weeks ago in Sports Illustrated. And this wasn't like something that he put out to his friends. It was headlined, the Donald Trump is the issue. I have a hard time, I have an impossible time blaming Donald Trump on college football. You might want to blame him for a couple of other things if you choose. But the problem in college football is a lack of leadership in college athletics. It has nothing to do with the resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, let me. I've got a granddaughter that's starting her junior year at Mississippi State. And I was talking to her the other day. We were talking about the virus. Her daddy, my son, had the virus. And he's coaching his 8-year-old son in Little League Baseball. He went and got a test. He started feeling sick on Wednesday. Sunday, he went and got tested. He didn't get a report back that Wednesday. He got a report back the next Wednesday, 10 days later. He was well. But he went through that. He's 41 years old. He went through that whole time coaching out in the hot sun. He was a coach pitch. He pitched like 3 games in a row. He didn't die. And my granddaughter at State, she said all of the students she knows it's safe. That have had the virus, the only problem they've had is they can't smell and can't taste.
Right.
And if we're going to shut the country down because of young people, high school and college football, and that's the worst thing they're going to have is they can't taste and they can't smell. We got a problem in this country. And I mean, it's upside down. And I'm 79 years old. I had bypass surgery 16 years ago. And I go to all my grandson's Little League baseball games. And I'm out in the open in the sun, and I'm not scared of it.
Well, Jerry, first of all, I'm really glad to hear you did well from that, and glad your son's doing better. We appreciate the call. We have another 3 hours to go on a Monday. It's already been pretty eventful. Stick around.